You're listening to the Good Old Boys Fantasy Football Podcast. Now here's your hosts, Kevin, Derek, and Alex.
Alrighty, welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Good Old Boys Fantasy Football Podcast. I am Derek, and I am joined, as always, by your co-host, Kevin. How are we doing tonight, Kevin?
Doing good. Had a monster week in our home league. I haven't gone through the history yet, but I think that might be the new high score in our home league. But it was a good week there. Got the W. Got the W in a work league that I've been kind of scrapping and clawing my way back into the playoff picture there. So all things considered, it was really good. Some injuries that kind of crept on us over the weekend, right? Najee and his abdominal issue. That was the one piece of my starting lineup this past weekend that didn't just go bonkers. And I think he might have, given the way he was starting until he went out with injury, but it's all right. Got me the tutty. So we were able to add to the points there, but then Allen Robinson, IR, along with Cooper Kupp, Darnell Mooney, IR, Justin Fields didn't play. But we saw the reemergence of Elijah Moore. We saw the reemergence of Garrett Wilson. Like it's crazy when you have a quarterback who, you know, can read the field in the first 2 to 3 seconds of a play, how efficient he can be for that New York offense. But we'll see what goes on there as quarterback controversy is going to be brewing since they looked pretty stinking good here over the weekend. But other than that, man, I'm ready to get after this, try and help some folks out, man. How are you?
You know, I can't complain. I did not have, the weekend that you described with the fantasy roster in the home league. I had the Travis Etienne kerfuffle is the way that I'm describing that one, where it did not certainly help me out there. And so now I'm in a predicament where I'm right there on the bubble for the playoffs. And yeah, there's just need some things to break my way and we can, you know, we'll be there. And like I said, the spot to seemingly shoot for in the home league playoff isn't the number one seed. That's not where you want to be. It's the 8th seed. So that's where I'm trying to get to is to get to that 8th seed spot and just be a really tough out for people down the road. So that's what I'm looking for and what I'm hoping for here. And again, one of these days, my team will decide to just click and fire on all cylinders, and yeah, that'll be the day type of thing. And I was looking it up while you were talking. I would have to go back through from when we changed platforms there and see if there was anything in the previous platform on some of those high scores there. But right now on the since we switched over to Sleeper, you're currently sitting in that top overall score for that league. So
I'll take it. There's a split second I thought I was going to get to 600. I thought I had a real puncher's chance going into Monday night. Najee started out, got that touchdown, and then walked into the locker room and didn't play again. I was like, oh shucks. And luckily the game was well in hand at that point, but I was getting greedy, man. I was really hoping for that 600 spot.
Well, but Benny Snell, came on in relief and looked pretty good doing that one as well. So I think that does kind of, speak to what you just said there, that he was in line probably for a very big game had he not exited with injury, but c'est la vie on that one. And that's going to bring us to some interesting points here when we get to the waiver wire, what folks are, looking for, going through all of that kind of stuff. We do have Jaden in the comments there saying it is Kenny Pickett season. He is definitely progressing and coming along pretty well there, and it'll be interesting to see how he continues to progress as the season goes along and certainly over the off season here as well. But kind of the one of the points that you made about Mike White and the quarterback play in New York, I believe when I was watching one of the like the post game interviews, things like that, with Saleh, he said something to the extent of it's amazing what happens when the quarterback makes the easy play look easy. Which that is exactly what, that's exactly what he did. He was coming out and he was hitting guys in time, in rhythm, on time. Wasn't leading guys into their demise going over the middle. And the second that the ball touches them, they get blown up.
Right.
So, I mean, there's a lot of that to be said. It'll be interesting to see the Jets likely going to be down here another running back with Michael Carter. I think the injury report I saw on that one was a sprained ankle as well. So, you know, another, you know, chalk up yet another injury bug there. Travis Etienne exited early with the injury, although they said he was ready to go and could have come back in, but they held him out, which is kind of an interesting move, interesting deal there, which – yeah, it could make some sense because I believe that, you know, what the injury that held him out his rookie year was a foot injury. So, you know, one of those that being overly cautious on your first round pick there, I could see that one. So we'll see what that one comes through. And that's one of those I'm going to have to be keeping a close eye on myself to figure out what that looks like going into this week and see if you know, Travis Etienne is playable. But you know, what were some of your other thoughts here? Are we ready to start hopping right into the waiver wire? And of course, everybody out there listening, if you got questions, throw them in the chat. Let's talk about them. Let's get you guys ready to go for week 13 here as we make these final 2 week push into the playoffs.
Yeah, I think my thought is the Broncos still suck.
Hey, but finally we got to a game where even if they scored 18 points, it wouldn't have mattered. The result would have still been the same.
I don't know if that makes me feel any better because it was against Carolina. Like, I don't know, man. It's tough to be a Bronco fan right now, but here we are.
Yes. Yes, that's very true. All righty. And, guys, you can find us on all the socials, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, at Good Old Boys FF, as well as the YouTube channel. Head over to there. Click the subscribe button. Best way to support this independent podcast is the youtube.com/@goodoldboysff. Jaden is wanting to know at this point, is Tony droppable?
If you have something better than, yeah. I mean, he's a depth piece. He's a high ceiling piece. Yes, he's kind of fighting that hamstring issue, but I mean, it still remains to be seen how efficient he's going to be through the end of the year, but him and Patrick Mahomes had an instant rapport of some sort. Now, having the hammy and then being out, yeah, that definitely hurts. But once again, he gives us just that glimmer of hope that you want to kind of keep a hold of him. So if your bench is deep enough to where you can keep him around, yes, absolutely. But if it's a shallow bench and you need to jockey and there's something really nice on the waiver wire, or if you had – you know, if you had Allen or Mooney, right, and they went down and you need to fill a serviceable wide receiver who you know is going to start week in and week out, I get that. I mean, you can drop Allen Robinson right now, right? I think you can drop Cooper Kupp. I don't think he's coming back, but everybody can kind of go with their own plan of attack there. But it depends on what you have on your waiver wire, Jaden, and that's really the best possible answer I could give you at this point.
Yeah. And that's, you hit the nail spot on there, right? It all depends on what else is out there. And how deep your bench spots are. So cosine. Let's Madeline in the chat there. Hey guys, I'm in need of a wide receiver bad. LOL, not much on the waiver wire, but who do you think I should pick up? Hollins, DJ Chark, James Jr., Marvin Jones, DeAndre Carter. Hollins is a bit of a touchdown dependent guy anymore.
Yeah, I like Mac Hollins for this week though. I really do. I think he has the opportunity to kind of flash again for you as the Raiders are going up against the Chargers. We know that's typically a high scoring game. My assumption is Josh Jacobs and that calf injury, they're not going to give him the ball 34 times again. So that means that Derek Carr is going to be dropping back and throwing it a bit more. So that should help. I do like Matt Collins. So that's a good thing. DJ Chark is interesting because he scored the touchdown on Thanksgiving, but he didn't do a whole lot outside of that. So Marvin, it's probably Mac Hollins, then Marvin Jones. Then probably Chark, then James, then Carter. I'm not, I'm hesitant on Carter because he is the third or fourth option on any given pass play. Now, he played well, right? Like, he splashed, but don't go chasing the points there. I think Hollins is your safest floor with a pretty high ceiling attached to it also.
I tell you what, Madeline, is Zay Jones available? Like, that would be a guy that I'd actually probably go with over these guys here. Zay Jones, last 2 weeks that he's come out and played with Trevor Lawrence, who Trevor Lawrence is certainly kind of, you know, seemingly seems to be progressing, taking a step forward there. And they certainly seem to be having some rapport and some chemistry there. But week 10 had 10 targets. This last week had 14 targets. They play Detroit this week. And so when you're looking at it, there's going to be a ton of points put up in that game. I do have a feeling both of those offenses have started kind of hitting on the cylinders there, but the defenses are still really bad. So I think you're going to see a whole lot of points put up in this one. And, I do like the options there for Zay Jones on that one. I don't know, Kevin, what are your thoughts there on one of Mr. Zay Jones?
I think Zay Jones and Marvin Jones are kind of tit for – it's a coin flip, right? Like, where Trevor Lawrence is going any given day, I think it's a coin flip. Now, Zay Jones has had those weeks here the last couple weeks, but Marvin Jones is more than serviceable. And the problem is it all depends on what the slot coverage looks like against Christian Kirk, right? Like, if Christian Kirk is getting covered well out of the slot, that's when Zay Jones and Marvin Jones have big days. But if that third cornerback is weak and Kirk's able to get open, then you're good.
Okay. She's saying that
Zay Jones.
No Zay Jones. Also asking, should I drop Cooper Kupp and Dallas Goedert?
Goddard, I wouldn't drop Goddard especially if you're hurting at tight end. Goddard was on a tear. He was one of the really special mid round tight ends that kind of excelled, right? He was extremely productive in that Philly offense before he went hurt. It's just a shoulder injury. You know, Philadelphia is going to be playing until the end because they're going to be fighting, for the number one seed. So Goddard, I would actually keep around. Kupp, I think you're good to drop. I really do. I don't see him coming back. If he does, there's no guarantee that Matt Stafford's going to be back. But with them being out of the playoff picture, why waste your franchise wide receiver? So I do think you're good to drop Cooper Kupp, but I would keep a hold of Dallas Goedert.
Yeah, I was trying to see if there's any news there, things like that. But I mean, he was expected to be out 6 to 8 weeks, and that's, you know, that's going to be bringing him back well into it. And these ankle sprains and these high ankle sprains, even when they have surgery on it, tend to have them bounce back a little bit slower on that one. So even if he was on the shorter end of that timeline, I don't know that I necessarily want to trust my fantasy playoffs to a guy coming off of a surgery. And a guy that most likely is going to have John Werford or Bryce Perkins throwing him the ball. And we all saw what Bryce Perkins did this last week. And, yeah.
It wasn't as pretty, right? It was a bit of a struggle.
Yes. You know, the one positive thing I can say about Bryce Perkins and his performance out there, he looked better in his start there than Kendall Hinton did in his start. Like, that was about the only positive thing I can really find on that one. Anyway,
you got the touchdown, man.
It's true. Super Squash 33. Do I chase Mostert? Should I do Chase and Mostert for Watson and ETN? Some of that's going to depend on how much you think Chase is going to come back on this thing.
I wouldn't. Especially if you have a competent quarterback. I think Watson is going to have some rust that he needs to knock off. He didn't look good in the preseason. Like, yes, he's been training with the team a little bit, gets fully back in this week. We know Chase is coming back this week. You've suffered through being without Jamar Chase for so long. Don't give him up for ETN, who the Jags seem like they want to be really cautious with their foot, and Deshaun Watson, who – we don't really know what he's going to look like, guys. Like, we all want him to be there. I've seen him ranked anywhere from just inside the top 12 all the way to QB 20. Like, we really don't know what we're getting with Deshaun Watson. at least with Jamar Chase, you know you have a set it and forget it number one wide receiver starting this week now that he's back healthy. Like, you know you have that. And with Watson and ETN, you're going to have to pay attention to injury reports and then worry if the Jaguars are going to start committing this out because Jamichael Hasty looks so good and all the things that go along with that. So I wouldn't.
Super Squash, you actually just answered the question I was getting ready to ask because I thought it was Christian Watson there. Okay. So that makes a little more sense there, right? So would you trade Jamar Chase and Raheem Mostert for Christian Watson and Travis Etienne? Does the Christian Watson part of that sway you at all?
No. I might be able to get talked into it, but it doesn't sway me enough to pull the trigger on it.
Yeah, I mean, right now Christian Watson has just been on a tear where he's 6 touchdowns over 3 weeks.
Like, yeah, he can't score a touchdown every week, right? Like, and he was pretty well bottled up, right? He was pretty well bottled up until Jordan Love found him on that crosser route and he took off and went to the end zone or set up the touchdown. So, like, yes, it worked out, but it's not like Devontae Adams, right? And giving up a true number one receiver for a guy that has wide receiver one upside, I don't know. That doesn't do it for me. And the Jags offense, if I knew ETN was healthy and he was still on a tear, that would probably make more of a difference. I think this foot injury is scaring me. I think is really what it is. I would rather have the guy coming back from injury than the guy who just got injured.
Well, it also doesn't I assume that they picked up Daryl Henderson because they picked up Henderson before the foot injury, right? Yes. But Daryl Henderson is a very serviceable, competent running back that can do, you know, pretty good things for fantasy in his own right there. Just playing on a bad Rams team this year. But when he was healthy last year and had the sole role there, did some good things there. So that also could be part of it that I don't see them necessarily rushing ETN back. And I'm a big believer in Travis ETN this year. Watson has certainly turned my head the last 3 weeks here, where the last 3 weeks he was wide receiver one, wide receiver four, wide receiver six on the week. So he's been putting up week winning type of performances for you and a guy that for the most part you picked up off of the waiver wire. Mostert, I'm out on Mostert. So it really comes down to Jamar Chase for Watson and ETN for me. Like that's where the equation comes down to Mostert in this case for me. It's almost a throwaway piece. I think I would lean the two players, but again, I'm right there with you, Kevin. That foot injury does worry me a little bit, and it's one of those that the Jags don't really have anything to play for, realistically yet in this season. So they're playing for draft picks at this point. So I know that's not really much of an answer there for you, Super Squash, but I think I'd probably still lean the Watson and ETN route. Sounds like Kevin would go the Chase and the Mostert route, and you have kind of our reasoning behind it, and you can kind of pick and choose which way you lean there. All righty. Jaden is asking that he needs a wide receiver with D-Hop on a bye and Mike Williams potentially first game back. Well, Jaden, Throw what's in the waiver wire on your down here in the chat, and let's help you out with that one. B Dubs, thoughts on Cordell Patterson rest of season? They have CMC, Lenny White thinking of dropping CPAT for Dobbins.
Hell, you might as well at this point, right? Since he came back, he's not seeing the volume that he saw at the very beginning of the year or that he saw last year, right? Like, so there's obviously a downtrend in Cordell Patterson as the Falcons are still fighting, right? They're not out of the playoffs, but it does seem like they're turning more towards their youth in a lot of different areas. Dobbins, I don't think you could do worse having Dobbins over Cordell Patterson, because if Dobbins is fully healthy, you know he's going to get plenty of run. So I would go ahead and do that. I'd toss Patterson and pick up Dobbins. I think that's okay because you have CMC and Rashad White to kind of carry the bulk of that. Lenny is going to get mixed in there too, but yeah, I think I'd rather have Dobbins over Patterson.
Yeah, I would take the swing on Dobbins there as well. Jamal Charles, Kansas City, great running back there, is asking, what do we do with Swift?
You play him. It's one thing you can do. So and this is the fear of missing out, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it is now the fear of missing out. I think he's continuing to get healthier. I think we still see him more and more. Jamal Williams has just been a touchdown vulture this year, right? Like, he has just had that nose for the end zone, and nobody was calling that or saw that coming, right? Now, with Swift, you're hoping for a little bit more work out of the backfield, and you're hoping that he can break one loose and kind of get you some of those chunk yardage plays, because Jamal's not going anywhere, but you can't sit Swift at this point. Like, chances are the chances of you having a better option in your lineup are slim.
Watch me sit him. That's what I'll tell you. I've got DeAndre Swift in the home league, was my first round pick in the home league, and the only time that he's come in off of the bench for me is when I got, had running backs that I couldn't pivot anywhere else because of some bye weeks there. And so I'm going to take my chances on this week. I'd rather play Travis Etienne than Swift, I think, if we're getting the go-ahead that Etienne's healthy. I'm going to play Alvin Kamara over Swift. So that leaves my flex spot. And at that point, I'm probably going to take a chance on a wide receiver over playing DeAndre Swift, just from the standpoint, every time I seem to play him, I get the half of a projection type of point total out of him, and it just kind of burns me a little bit there. So, I happen to have the benefit of also having picked up Donta Foreman and having that workload to fill in my flex most weeks. This week's not going to happen because of bye week, but at that point I tend to look other places and do that. So I'm not dropping him because I also don't want to go up against him and him have one of his monster games. Going through the fighting for a playoff spot or in the playoffs. So I'm not going to drop him, but if I can pivot other ways, I'm going to do that. Madeline saying thanks. Their thumbs up. 11-1. Hopefully going to win it all. Absolutely. Go get that cash and trophies. Jaden is putting some of the options out there for the waiver wire. Elijah Moore, Jahan Dotson, DJ Chark. I am out on Dotson. Chark is going to be a bit of a – he's going to be a touchdown play on that one. I think Elijah Moore is going to be a bit of a touchdown play as well, but I think I'd rather go the Elijah Moore route this week, just from the standpoint that I think he's going to see probably more volume than either of the other two guys that you mentioned there.
Yeah, I like with White at quarterback and with what we saw Moore do last week, I think that is repeatable. So, and if Michael Carter is going down – they may not just sit back and run the ball as much. Like, White obviously has shown the ability that he can make the simple play. He's not going to put the football in danger here. And if he can keep doing that, they're going to let him throw him more often here. So I like Elijah Moore for this week. I think he has a very nice upside to him.
All righty. Terry, welcome back into the chat there, Terry. Sorry that the Rams didn't pull off the upset for you. Better add Knight or Schnell. So who are you looking to add, Knight for the Jets or Benny Schnell for the Steelers?
I'm adding Knight. Like, I think this Michael Carter injury and James Robinson, his injury, like, both those guys are hurt and they're going to sit them. Like, the Jets, if they keep winning games and can win them with these backups, they will be all right. And Knight looked pretty damn good. So, Snell, I think Jalen Warren's coming back this week, which instantly relegates Snell down a little bit. And we'll find out more tomorrow, I think. But I think chances are Najee's playing. Like, I think he's going to get treatment and they're going to rehab it a little bit and just kind of see how his abdomen works. We'll have to keep an eye on that. But either way, we'll see Jalen Warren and Najee back in the swing of things before we see Michael Carter and James Robinson fully up to speed. So Knight has more value for longer. Benny Snell, you might get a week, and that will be about it.
Okay. All righty. We got Terry asking, Tua versus San Francisco, Lawrence against Detroit. I'm taking Lawrence against Detroit.
Cosign. I like Trevor Lawrence a lot this week.
Yeah, and it's Detroit. Detroit loves giving up points to everybody. They sit there and they look at the opposing offense and say, you get points. Doesn't matter who you are, you get points. B-dubs saying Donovan Peoples-Jones or Burks this week in a half-point PPR.
That's a good question. Sorry, I'm going through this. I think
I'm taking Treylon Burks.
I think I'm going to lean Burks as well. There's at least an automatic rapport between him and Ryan Tannehill. We don't know how Deshaun Watson is going to look with Donovan Peoples-Jones, and that there's a chance that there is a very likely chance that Deshaun Watson only throws the ball 25 times.
If even that much.
Like, there is a real chance of that. The Texans are so bad against the run that Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, and hell, they might even activate Felton, right, and just run three running backs at the Texans all game long. And Deshaun Watson is not going to have to do a whole lot. He'll throw seven balls towards Amari Cooper. He'll probably throw six balls towards David Njoku. DPJ might get four. Right? I mean, there's 18 right there. And, you know, then one or two to Schwartz, a couple of dump offs to the running back. There's your 25 pass attempts. Like, it's quick. It adds up quick. So I would rather have Burks for this week. And I know it's a tough matchup against the Eagles, but I don't think that the Browns are going to be put in position to throw the ball a whole hell of a lot against the Texans. So I think Burks has the opportunity to at least have, you know, six catches instead of just four targets. And, you know, the possibility of a, you know, because he's such a big body, a red zone touchdown, something like that.
Right. Well, and that's the thing that down the road, I like the potential connection between DPJ and Watson there, just from the standpoint that Deshaun likes to drive the ball down the field. DPJ's got a ton of speed to him, so you could see him kind of fill some of that role that we've seen wide receivers fill for him in the past, where you know, to get some of those downfield shots, things like that. But the Eagles are going to stack the box here a little bit, right? You're going to see a lot of 7-8 man boxes in this one to make sure that you slow down Derrick Henry on this thing. And then you know, up and over the top on some play action passes for Treylon Burks. And it wouldn't surprise me to see Treylon Burks walk away with 60, 70 yards in this thing and potentially a touchdown as well. DPJ, I would see him probably closer to maybe 30, 40 yards in this one, zero TDs. So that's kind of how I'm projecting that one is out as well. And that's where I'm going to lean Treylon Burks. Jaden is asking, should he drop Tony for Elijah Moore? You dropping Kadarius Toney for Elijah Moore?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think you can do that.
And he was also saying, you know, he also said earlier that he had to start a wide receiver. So Kadarius Toney, you may not see the field this week, whereas, you know, Elijah Moore, we should see him, and I think he will have some decent output there. Jamie in the chat saying, live, let's go. He thinks the DPJ is going to get 6-7 and that Watson has the arm to throw it downfield. GPJ has the downfield production there. So that's exactly what I was, the point I was making there, Jamie, but I don't know that you're going to see the Browns do that this week. Like Kevin said earlier, the Texans allow everybody to run and run and run and run to the point where quarterbacks don't need to throw. If you actually look at the points that the Texans give up against opposing quarterbacks, they're actually one of the better teams, are one of the toughest defenses in the league for an opposing quarterbacks to get fantasy points for, simply from the standpoint the quarterbacks don't do anything because the running game is taking care of that. And the Browns, That's one of their strengths. So it wouldn't surprise me to see Nick Chubb get 25 to 30 carries in this thing. Wouldn't surprise me to see Kareem Hunt up around 20 carries. So that's kind of where I'm looking at there. So, alrighty, I see another comment coming in here. Peng's pick, having eight guys in my box. Well, it was more the Eagles and the Tennessee Titans having eight men in the box trying to slow down Henry. But you can see however you want to see that one. Jamie saying Chubb runs all day, absolutely, and twice on Sunday. So, alrighty. Kevin, we did have a question come in on the Twitter, and I'll get that one pulled up here real quick, and then we'll head over and we'll take a look if there's any other waiver wires that we haven't talked about there. But over on Twitter, they're wanting us to rank these waiver wire targets. They could really use some bench depth. Knight, Zay Jones, Benny Snell, Terrius Davis Price, Jalen Warden, and Jamichael Hasty. So out of those six guys, how would you rank them? Zayvon Knight, Zay Jones, Benny Snell, Terrius Davis Price, Jalen Warden, Jamichael Hasty.
I think Zay Jones, Jamichael Hasty, then White, I think would be my top three.
You mean Knight?
Yes, sorry, Knight.
Okay. Zay Jones, certainly my first target there as well. And I get some of the allure of Terrian Davis Price being in that San Francisco backfield. And if they hold out CMC because of that knee irritation and the fact that, Elijah Mitchell's already going to be out 6 to 8 weeks with that injury there.
That dude just can't stay healthy, man.
No, he really can't. But at that point, I'm not looking to jump on that one. Shanahan's going to ride the hot hand there, and you've got enough running backs on that thing. You could see Debo get a lot more carries on that one. Like, I'm kind of staying away from that backfield without CMC in it.
Freaking Debo. Bane right? of my existence this year.
Right. I think I would go to Jamichael Hasty, and then I would actually probably look at the Benny Snell route there as well. I think that James Robinson was a healthy scratch, but a lot of that is because he doesn't play special teams, whereas Knight does. And so I could see them activating James Robinson this way, and he's going to eat in more than I think a lot of folks think on that one. So that'd be kind of how I would ride on that one there. Jaden asking Rashad White or Najee. I'm going to lean with White. Najee, it depends on what the practice reports and all that look like, but there's a chance Najee misses this week. So right now I'm saying I'm taking the healthy guy in Rashad White. Peng's pick saying, sorry, I was a minute and a half behind. That was back to the eight guys in the box. Zay Jones, and then Peng's pick saying Zay Jones being on waivers at this point is interesting. It is. And Jamie saying, who would you prioritize more on waivers? Donovan, or Knight, or Boone?
Knight. Mike Boone. The Broncos offense is crappy enough. Like, you don't need to add another piece to it.
Right. You've already got too many pieces that don't do anything there. So, I'm going to go with the Knight route if I've got to take that shot there on that one. All righty. And guys, if you have any questions, comments, anything like that, let's throw them in the chat. Let's get you talking. Let's talk about those things and get you guys ready, set to rock and roll here week 13. Kevin, waiver wire here. Anything else that you're seeing on the waiver wire that we haven't already mentioned?
No, not really. I think we kind of covered most of it, right? Like tight ends. Tight end was, that's one tight end. So, where is not him, but on your team? Jelani Woods, right? Tight end for the Indianapolis Colts. Just had a career high with 8 catches, I believe, he finished the game with.
He outdid his entire season's performance for the first 11 weeks with that 1 week.
Right. And so, you know what? Quarterbacks like guys who can get open and catch the ball. And he showed an ability to do that. So I'm not saying he's going to see 8 catches every single week. But with tight end, you're looking for someone who can try and get you 4 and 5 catches. You want 60 yards is what you'd really like to have out of it. And then you're hoping for a touchdown, right? That's how you get to your 12-point base, which is what you're shooting for out of your tight end position. And then upside. The touchdown, he's less likely to have a touchdown than some of the other tight ends, but it's possible he sees 4 or 5 grabs for 60 yards and gets you there. So if you're in a pinch for tight end, if yours is coming up on a bye this week or next and you're trying to work your way through that, I think that's an interesting play. Ricky James from the New York Giants, right? A little bit of wide receiver depth. We don't really talk about that team a whole heck of a lot. But his target share has been interesting. Darian Slayton, his target share continues to go up. He led the Giants on Thanksgiving against the Cowboys. So there's some help there for receiver depth. And then Ty Johnson is the other running back for the Jets who is not getting as much acknowledgement compared to Knight, but he also stepped in with Michael Carter being out. So a couple oddballs, some deep throws, especially in deeper leagues that you can kind of take a look at. Shallow bench leagues probably don't need to worry about those guys, but ours is a bit of a deeper bench, right? And so, if the situation's right, if my team's strapped or bye weeks or injuries or whatever, some points are better than no points. It doesn't work as well in our league because we have a kind of a volume-based scoring system. Mm-hmm. But in a traditional half-point or full-point league with a deep bench, these guys are all viable.
I like it. All righty. So a couple of other questions coming in here. Jamie really likes Mike Boone, saying that has a really small sample size this year, but he averages 6.8 yards per touch and 10.1 yards per receptions. Those stats rank top 15. The Broncos have the lowest points scored this year since the 2000 Cleveland Browns, which means tons of negative game scripts, and that's great for pass catching running back. Wheels up for Mike Boone. I can get where you're going with this one. He's saying the Broncos in desperate need of a great pass catching back, and Boone is that guy to get it done. So the problem that you've got is there's a guy named Russell Wilson throwing him the ball, and Russell Wilson's had a difficult time doing all that. Not only that, when you're talking about a negative game script, the Broncos haven't been in such a negative game script where it forces them to throw the ball more. They are, if you look at the vast majority of their games, they are within a field goal down until they're within 3 points in the fourth quarter and deep into the fourth quarter in most cases, having gone to overtime 3 different times this year and having lost the majority of their games by very few points. And not only that, the Broncos right now would be, 10-2. If they are 9-2, it's 9-2 right now. If they had put up 18 points or more per game, like that's the type of thing. This offense needs far more than a pass catching running back, and that's just not going to get the job done. Like I get where you're going with this one, but the entire offense is kind of kaput at this point.
Yeah, feel free to take your chance on him if you want, bud. It's your prerogative. He's not sniffing any one of my rosters, and I have 40 leagues I'm managing. I don't have a single piece of Mike Boone on any roster, and I'm not looking at it.
I've actively gotten rid of just about every Broncos player on almost all of my rosters that I could. So that's how bad the offense is that I don't want any part of it. And yeah, unfortunately, this is one of those that in the afternoon games, that's a lot of times the only game that we get on the local market here. So because we're in Colorado, so we get the local game, and I'd rather watch just about anything else at this point. So I get where you're going, and they've got an easy schedule remaining. But Russell Wilson coming into this year had the easiest schedule for fantasy quarterback coming into the season, and it has produced what it has produced. And this entire team is in shambles to the point where you've got a head coach that had to hire in a special advisor to help him manage game time situations. You had to hand off the play calling ability to the offensive coordinator, who's in his second year of calling plays realistically here. And you've got a defense that has been so elite that if the offense had managed to get to 18 points per game, the Broncos would be 9-2 and duking it out with the Chiefs for the first seed in the AFC conference here. And we'd be talking a very different story, and none of those things has happened. And I'm not looking to try and get into more Broncos players. Spear IT saying, what's up? Long time no see. Well, we've been here, man. You know where to find us every Tuesday and Friday. We here. All righty. Terry asking, do the Bears shut down Fields? I don't know that they necessarily, you know, shut him down. There's still a lot of maturation that needs to happen for him. And there's still a lot of valuable, valuable reps and game time that will help with that process and help them see what this offense is really going to look like going into the future. Keep in mind, this coaching staff isn't the ones, and this GM are not the ones that drafted him, and they're the ones that inherited him. And I think they're really looking to make sure that they know kind of what they've got and all the other pieces around him, what they're going to be looking at. So I don't think that they're going to shut him down unless they have to. Any thoughts on that one?
Okay. Yeah, I agree. I don't think they're shutting him down. I think they're going to be cautious. Mm-hmm. I mean, they don't want to make the separated shoulder worse, right? So they want to make sure that he's healing. It might be another week of Trevor Siemian, right? Like, it might be two more weeks, but I don't think they're just going to fully put Fields on the IR and say, okay, the season's done.
Right. Terry asking, Cleveland versus Houston for defense special teams, or San Francisco versus Miami? I'm going to take San Francisco versus Miami. I get that the matchup is worse there, but Cleveland has been very forgiving as a running defense there. Like, they are very, very forgiving against opposing running backs. This could be another Damian Pierce sighting on this one. To the point where, you know, they put up enough points to do that. San Francisco's got an elite defense, and I'm going to stick behind an elite defense on that one.
Yeah, I think San Francisco's playing so well right now that you're just trusting the process. That game's going to be low scoring. It's going to be a little grimy. San Francisco will do a good job screwing up what Tua and company are trying to do there.
Yeah, I would agree. Spirit T saying things have been going good. They're 7-5 now in the number 2 seed. All right, you're making that push towards them cash and trophy. Let's keep it going. Jaden saying Broncos country, let's cry. That's about accurate. Jamie saying that the hot take, Melvin Gordon scores a touchdown versus the Broncos in week 14. Also, Gordon scores two TDs at home versus the Broncos in week 16. My hot take is Melvin Gordon doesn't make it off the practice squad.
I'd tell you that in those two games against the Broncos, he has more fumbles than touchdowns.
You tell me that the defensive players aren't going to just try and exploit that one.
Oh, you know it. The games that he's cost them, like, I mean, not that they're going for blood or anything, but, I mean, at that point, you're going after the ball. Like, the secret's out. He trained with those. He's been on that roster for 3.5 years. And – there's no question about it. They're going to be going after the ball. So right. I don't know that he gets off the practice squad. I think it's an insurance. It's an insurance play just in case CEH doesn't get back on the field, but you have Pacheco, you have Jeff McKinnon, and you have Patrick freaking Mahomes. Like,
right.
Melvin Gordon honestly is brought in because it's a divisional opponent who defensively plays the Chiefs really well. And they're probably just trying to pick his brain to see if they can figure anything out.
Right. Well, not only that, the Chiefs brought in Ronald Jones as a free agent and still hasn't made the an active start on that one. Hey,
yes,
guess what?
He did.
Yeah. Okay. You're right. But guess what? They brought in they already had a guy on the roster that had a bit of a fumbling problem. So they decided that he didn't want to be, you know, alone in that on the practice squad. So they decided to bring in Melvin Gordon to give him some company, and they can see who fumbles better.
No, we're not bitter. It's okay.
No, not at all. Jaden is not a fan of Melvin Gordon on that one. All right. Jamie asking, what is Pacheco's role going forward? Would you trade a late second in Dynasty for Pacheco?
I think I would.
Yeah.
Late second, you're starting to get into flyer mode, right? Now, this draft coming up is supposed to have some more offensive talent than the 2022 class, but all that remains to be seen. Like, if you have a young, proven commodity, and what Pacheco does in this Kansas City offense fits really nicely, right? They talked about that ad nauseum at the telecast here this past week, and there's a whole lot of truth to it. Like, he just has light feet. He has a burst. He has some change of direction. He can catch the ball okay. Like, I think I would. I would trade a late second in Dynasty for him and being able to have him on my roster to help fill in and see where it goes. Because I don't think – I could be wrong, but I don't think they're going to give the fifth-year option to CEH, right? I think they're going to run that 4 years and then be done with it. They have Pacheco for three more years after this to kind of cover that gap. Like, I don't see the Chiefs spending big money or retaining running backs when they can just rotate them in and out and change them like underwear almost, because your quarterback runs that entire offense.
Right. And, you know, like you said, once you get beyond about pick 18 in Dynasty, you start really, you know, throwing darts on some of those things, and you're taking more flyers and you're taking more upside swings than necessarily guys that you think are going to come out and really, really swing for the fences on those guys and are more likely to hit. So, yeah, at that point, you've got a guy that's already kind of producing there. Go out and get rid of a late second, get rid of a dart throw for a guy that's already producing. Spear IT, start Watson, Zeke, or Mike Evans?
I think it goes Watson, Mike Evans, then Zeke. If you have Watson in your lineup already, it's really hard to turn down the production that he's put forward the last, you know, 3 weeks, right? Like, I think you just have to continue to ride that in your flex spot. Mike Evans just kind of had a bit of a bust. It was more of a Chris Godwin day. You're welcome. I told you all that. But for this week, yeah, I think I'm going Watson, then Mike Evans, then Zeke. And a lot of it because Tom Brady kind of sucks against the Saints, right? They do a good job of getting pressure right up the middle at him. They're statistically not his greatest days. So I think that limits Mike Evans as well. So have fun with Christian Watson and hope he can get you another tutty.
Cosign. Jamie asking, can you see the Chiefs drafting a mid-round running back this year's draft to add to the committee? I mean, I think that the Chiefs are a very good organization that'll go out and add a kind of best player available that's going to do that. And if they've got somebody that's, you know, fallen down the board a little bit, yeah, they might spend a fourth or fifth round pick on that. Like, it wouldn't surprise me. It also wouldn't surprise me if they don't spend any draft capital on a running back either.
Yeah. No, I co-sign. I just go back to that real quick. And I'm going to go back to this late second since we were just talking about that. Here's where your average, where your late seconds were last year. You had Tyler Allgeier, Tyrion Davis-Price, David Bell, Wandale Robinson, in some leagues, Hassan Haskins, Ke'Anthony Ingram snuck up there at times. Not, he was more of a third round guy, but he did sneak up in the late second at times. Would you rather take Pacheco over all those guys?
See,
I mean, I would. So revisionist history a little bit, yes, but that's all we have to go off of. So more of a reason of why I would trade that second in Dynasty. Take the proven commodity. We know he's fit for the NFL game and he's not going to scrub out. I would rather know I have that than a late second round pick where I could end up with a bench warmer for his entire career.
Right.
Draft picks, Dynasty draft picks are overrated.
Yeah, the only ones that ever seem to pan out are when you get those very early firsts. And quite frankly, if you got the early first, more often than not, you got more issues at play there.
But at the same time, not as Darius Geis, early first round pick, flamed out. Ronald Jones, early first round pick, hasn't done squat.
Like N'Keal Harry.
Right. Like you can go through these and nitpick it, right? Like this year, the first half to two thirds of the draft was pretty well set in stone, right? Like you did well there. But after that, James Cook got up into the middle of the first round. What has James Cook done for you this year? Now, one going game forward, that might be different. But for this year, are you a little frustrated with your pick? Possibly, if you're not willing to stay patient on it. Like, I think you could – there's another guy that you could – if I could get James Cook for a late second right now, I think I'd go ahead and do that too. And Pacheco's had better numbers than him. Like, so it is a crapshoot a little bit, which is why I like the proven commodity. Like, I'm not saying trade – a second round pick for Julio Jones. Like that's not what I'm getting after, but I would rather have a guy that I think has, you know, two really good years left and I can give up a second round pick for that as opposed to take a crapshoot and hope he pans out in the next 3 years.
Yeah. My typical approach is I wait until day before draft day and then trade away the majority of my draft picks for Dynasty there and accumulate more draft picks the next year and typically get some veteran players that make an impact for me right away with a proven track record there. So that's kind of how I look at that. And that's one of my favorite things to do is to take that first round, move back a couple of spots or move back to the year after and get a proven veteran on that thing as well. So Ethan, thoughts about Christian Kirk? If he scores a touchdown, you're happy. If he doesn't score a touchdown, you're sad.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, I think he's a flex play. Like he started out the season on a tear where you wanted to get him kind of as your wide receiver two, right? And you started out thinking really good things about it and he's kind of relegated back to earth. So he's a matchup dependent flex play. Which is exactly where you drafted him. So I think he's fulfilling the role on your roster in which you drafted him to do 15 weeks ago.
Jaden asking thoughts on J-Mo.
Like Jameis Wilson?
Yeah, I think he's talking about Jameis. Yeah, Jameis Winston. At this point, the Saints, I don't know that they're going to do much to do that one, and we'll probably see Jameis on a different roster next year. That's kind of what I'm thinking.
He might be tied up because of the contract. I'd have to pull up over the cap and find out the details of his contract. We know Andy Dalton's gone. It was just a one-year deal. I expect the Saints to bring in either a rookie quarterback or try and acquire a veteran free agent. Read an interesting article today where they made a really compelling argument that Jimmy G would go to the Saints. So it was compelling enough that obviously I'm bringing it up here. I'm sorry, I don't remember who wrote it. I think it was CBS Sports. I could be wrong. But it perked my interest enough that it's kind of turning the wheels here a little bit. So I think that'd be really good.
Right.
Right. I think that could do a really good do some good for that offense and have a calm veteran leader at quarterback who knows how to facilitate the offense really well and can find playmakers when needed.
Right. And Jameis doesn't have a dead cap hit that really bogs them down much on this one. Next year he has a, I'm sorry. Here it is. So he has a potential out after potential out 2023, 1 year, $15 million with an $11.2 million dead cap hit.
Yeah, that's nothing.
And then if you know, go even further down in 2024, it's an 8.4 dead cap, and then no dead cap for the final 2 years of that contract deal. So they're not necessarily tied to him on that one, and I could very easily see them moving on from that one. If he really was their guy, we would have seen him back out there already. Spear IT asking Bills defense and special teams or Seahawks defense and special teams. And for me, it's the Seahawks.
I'm taking the Seahawks this week.
Mm-hmm. Now, the matchup's too good.
Yeah, the Seahawks against a backup quarterback, no offensive weapons. Like, I think that is. Now, the Bills is a nice pivot. It's definitely more mainstay, but they're on the road Thursday night. I do expect that game to be a little bit low scoring. We will touch on that game here very quickly. But given a choice, I would edge towards the Seahawks, but probably only by like a point.
Big Trev, what's up, man? A tough one. Full PPR, Rashad or Kamara? Neither has that good of a matchup. Not really wanting to play Thielen over one of them. Thoughts? No, I would play either Rashad White or Alvin Kamara there, and they're both up against each other in that Tampa versus New Orleans game there. But which way are you leaning on that one, Kevin?
I'm going to lean Alvin Kamara because at the end of the day, Tom Brady is still going to drop back and try and throw the ball. Andy Dalton, maybe not so much.
Andy Dalton may dump that off to Kamara more than we see the dump offs.
I think it's probably pretty close. I don't think Kamara is going to have the greatest week, but I would rather take Alvin Kamara's superstar presence slightly over one decent matchup for Rashad White. And if Lenny's coming back, which is possible, if Lenny is coming back from that stinger, we're not quite sure how that's going to feed into that. So I guess that might be the true pivot, is if Leonard Fournette doesn't play for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I might pivot over to Rashad White again and see if you can get something to work because the Saints have been reeling. But if Leonard Fournette is going to suit up, you assume he's going to play if he's going to suit up. Tom Brady loves his veterans that he's familiar with, so that means Leonard Fournette's going to be in more than anybody would like to see him, and that'll take away from Rashad White. So if you're 50-50, Big Trev, wait to see what Leonard Fournette does, and if he's out, Rashad White's in. If he's in, play Alvin Kamara.
I like it. I know we've got a lot more comments and questions in the chat there. We're going to hit up our Pine and Shine recap from last week, and then we'll come back and hit some more questions and comments here. So the Pine, we'll go ahead and start there and recap in that one. Alex called for Alvin Kamara to be a Pine going up against San Francisco. Certainly hit on that one. Kevin, why don't you tell us about your Pine?
I said Pine David Montgomery. I was not
a push.
Believing, yeah, kind of push, right? Consensus ranking 22, finished RB20, like barely got there. So yeah, the push, but I don't feel necessarily great about it.
Right. My Pine, I hit on that one. I called for Alan Lazard, who was flex worthy candidate, finished at wide receiver 76 this last week, and not a very good game for him. And certainly kind of a forget me game for a lot of those Green Bay fantasy options there. All right, let's go ahead and we'll move on to the Shine recap. And Alex called for Alex Pierce to have a great game there, and he laid a goose egg. So Alex taking the L on that one. Kevin, what about your Shine?
I said Shine Jeff Wilson. I was on the belief that he was just going to tear up the Houston Texans. And while he got into the end zone eventually, it was not very productive as far as yards per carry. And that led him to a RB23 finish when we thought he was going to finish inside the top 10. So I took the L.
My Shine was a push. I called for Latavius Murray to come out and have a good game in your flex. And he had an all right game, right? Like he basically put up a 100 yards all purpose type of thing. Didn't get into the end zone. So yeah, he was expected to finish as a top 30 running back, finished like literally right at what his expert consensus ranking was heading into the week. So we're going to take a push on that one. That moves us to Alex, and now sitting at 11-9. Kevin sitting at 13-9-2. I'm sitting at 15-6-3 on the season here. And let's go ahead and hit some of these next questions and comments here. Spear IT saying that Winston is his guy because he's a Knoll, so he's hoping that he does well there. Jaden asking Pollard or Terry at flex. Full point PPR. I think I got to go with Tony Pollard with just a tear he's been on over the last few weeks. I get last week wasn't great, but I see a bit of a bounce back happening here.
Yeah, I think Tony Pollard's the player.
So, Jamie saying the best time that when he likes trading those draft picks is either right after the draft when the teammates have rookie fever or while you're on the clock. Yep, that's certainly a way to do it. Certainly have the most value then. Tampa or Pittsburgh defense this week?
I think I'd lean Tampa, but not by a whole heck of a lot.
Yeah, I'm going to take Tampa as well. The Steelers have a great matchup there, but you just saw the Saints get shut out there, and they look bad on the offensive side of the ball as well. So I'm going to lean Tampa there as well.
And Atlanta's been putting up points, man. They've been a thorn in the side of people trying to predict their games. I think I'd shy away from the Pittsburgh side this week.
And we saw, right, like Atlanta really likes to come out and run the ball, and Jonathan Taylor was just pounding that Steelers defense, and why they didn't just run the ball more, I don't know. But I think that you're going to see Mariota get a ton of run, and you're going to see some mixture of Cordell Patterson, Tyler Allgeier, and Atlanta just likes to run the ball, and they'll put up probably 20-plus points in that one. There's a good chance that you may see this Tampa and Saints game end in a 10-7 type of matchup here. So, yeah. Jamie saying the Seahawks are his favorite streamer of the week. If you can't grab if you can't get him, grab the Browns versus the Texans. Yeah, I think that's pretty solid advice there. Also, would you start, this one from Adam, would you start Deshaun Watson, Jimmy G, or Justin Fields if healthy? Fields is healthy. I'm playing Fields, followed by Jimmy G, followed by Deshaun Watson. If not, I'm going Jimmy G. I don't want a Deshaun Watson having to shake the rust off of not playing for 2 years up against a bad matchup for quarterbacks in the fantasy realm, because Houston allows everybody to run the ball on him. So it's a pretty easy Justin Fields or Jimmy G.
Yeah, I would go Fields first if he's healthy. Jimmy's been playing well enough. I think he warrants the start. I want to see Deshaun Watson for 1 week so that way I can evaluate it before I just willy-nilly throw him in. Now, in two quarterback leagues where you've been, savoring waiting for Deshaun Watson, you probably have, a lesser second quarterback anyway. I would take the flyer on him there. That is, I have one league that I had Deshaun Watson kind of stashed away for this, and I've been running with just basically one quarterback all season long. So I am going to play Watson in that particular league. But other than that, all the other pieces of Watson I have, he is sitting on my bench for this week because I want to see what he looks like before I throw him in my starting lineups as I'm making a playoff push.
Fair enough. Who are you going? Here's one for you. Deshaun Watson, Marcus Mariota, which way are you riding?
I think I'm going to go Mariota at home. Like he's been playing well enough at home. I think he edges out Deshaun Watson.
Fair enough. Spirit T, Rashad or Watson? And I'm assuming that's Christian Watson on that one. So Rashad White, Christian Watson. I'm just going to kind of ride the points in the top 10 finishes 3 weeks in a row.
Yeah, I think so. I think the only – yeah, the Bears' defense has not been good. Yep, Christian Watson. I'm good with that this week.
Yep. Adam saying that he could also pick up Derek Carr or Mike White off the waiver. No, I would – if Justin Fields is healthy, I'm riding with Justin Fields. If not, Jimmy G's the guy.
Yeah, for one more week, I'm good with that.
Yep. Jamie saying he'd go Watson against – Houston's defense on a revenge game. Yeah, but I think you're going to see the Browns run the ball. Would it surprise you if they have 50 running plays?
It's entirely possible. And I understand the allure behind it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I get it. It's a hot name. He's a fantasy relevant quarterback. But being gone for damn near 2 years warrants taking a real evaluated look on a guy before I would choose to throw him in a starting lineup.
Not only that, first time that he hasn't really gotten to practice with this team all year long.
Yeah, so it's camp, right?
Yeah. So you've got a guy that's effectively, you know, been sitting out, hasn't been able to practice with these guys over the last 2 months, hasn't been able to be at the building, anything like that over the last 2 months. And so some of the chemistry, that kind of stuff that we see bring some of these things to light that provide, you know, tend to propel quarterbacks. Yeah, I'm in the same boat you are. I want to wait and see what that looks like. Did Alan Lazard die this week? What happened? Well, we called for him to not have a good game this last week on the Pine, and sure enough, he did not look like he showed up. Terrence asking Geno or Watson this week at QB. I'm going to take Geno.
Geno.
Again, great matchup there. Terrence also asked an ETN or Rashad White. If ETN's healthy, I'm going to roll with Travis ETN.
Yeah, I think you have to roll with ETN if he's healthy.
Jamie asking, which of these wide receivers has the most targets per game? Hopkins, Adams, Cooper Kupp, Tyreek. So we got a trivia question. That's a first here. We don't tend to get many trivia questions here on the Tuesday show.
Per game played, it's Hopkins.
I think, yeah, if you're talking this year, it's Davante Adams, who's averaging 11.2 targets per game, followed by Cooper Kupp at 10.9, DeAndre Hopkins at 10.7. Tyreek Hill actually last on the list at 10.5. He's saying the answer is Adams, but if you asked the question last week, the answer would have been Hopkins.
Shucks, missed it by a week.
Missed it by a couple of days.
Story of my life.
Alrighty, let's go ahead and head over into the Thursday night preview here. Hit this one up. And Thursday night, we've got the Bills and the Patriots. They're squaring off here. Bills are favored by 5, the over-under 43.5. What are your thoughts here on this game?
I like New England to cover the game here. They're at home. They do play Buffalo tough. Buffalo has not done a very good job pulling away from teams. They've been pretty leaky against the run, and Ramondre Stevenson has been on a stinking tear here for the Pats. So I think I'm going to kind of lean on that here a little bit. I'm going to play the under as well. I think this is going to be a lower scoring game. The Patriots defense does a pretty decent job of keeping Josh Allen in check and kind of controlling Stephon Diggs. So I'm calling for a lower scoring game here on Thursday night, but New England finds a way to cover it.
Alex has got Buffalo covering and the over on that one. I'm going to take New England to cover this thing, right? When Buffalo gets into a touchdown type of game, they have an incredibly difficult time closing out games this year, to the point where we typically see these things end up being field goal type of games. And I think that's where we're going to be in this one when it's all said and done. I think this is going to be a 3-point game. I do think that we're going to see enough points put up by both of these guys, by both of these teams, to push us to the over. This one here has the feeling of like a 24-21 type of game to me. So I'm going to call the over just on the barely side of that thing. And I'm going to take New England to cover field goal type of game. And that leads us to our next little fun matchup here. So one of the games we play, Monkey Knife Fight, Touchdown Dance, is a game you can play over on monkeyknifefight.com. If you use the promo code GOBFF when you sign up, you get a 100% deposit match up to $100 for new users. So Kevin, Touchdown Dance on this one, we're picking 3 players, and then we're going to pick our prize. More than 2.5 touchdowns gets a x2 prize. More than 3.5 collective touchdowns gets a x3 prize. And more than 4.5 touchdowns gets a x6 prize. Who are the 3 guys you're calling here?
Ramondre Stevenson, Stephon Diggs, and Josh Allen. He's going to get in on a sneak.
I like that one. I like that call a lot. I'm going to go with Stevenson as well. I think that the New England finds a touchdown on the ground with that. I'm also going to take Hunter Henry. Again, you know, thinking this one's going to be a close deal. Even though Buffalo's been incredibly tough against the pass, Hunter Henry seemingly seems to find a way into the end zone, and New England has been letting Mac Jones throw the ball a little bit more here. And I like the Gabe Davis route is who I'm going to take for my third one. I could absolutely see him getting behind the defense and catching a long one here and housing it. So that's where I'm going to lean on this one. We've got Jamie saying that great show, guys. Appreciate that, Jamie. And this running back has the most evaded tackles at the RB position: Stevenson, Josh Jacobs, Nick Chubb, Aaron Jones.
I think it's Jacobs, followed by Stevenson, then Chubb, then Jones. But that one I could be wrong on. But I think it's Jacobs.
I'm going to go with Jacobs just from the standpoint that he's gotten the most workload. So, I don't know, Jamie, tell us the answer there. And while we're waiting for Jamie to tell us the answer on that one, let's go ahead and we're going to move over to the Pine and the Shine for week 13 here. And the Pine is where we call out and we think the guys are going to miss the mark on this one, not have necessarily a great game. And we'll start with the Pine for Alex. He's thinking Lamar Jackson going up against a tough Denver defense is going to cause Lamar to not have a great game. I'm going to take a running back here, and I'm going to take Saquon Barkley, who's projected to be a top 10 running back this week. I think that he is going to have a bit of a tough time here. Washington, tough divisional matchup here, and I do think that we're going to see them just manage to hold this thing down to it, to the point where Saquon finishes outside of that top 10 mark.
Now, fair enough. I am saying Pine Miles Sanders, so another running back there. Tennessee is really good against the run. I think you'll see you're going to see Philadelphia's ability to flip the script, right? Like, the Packers are not good against the run, so that they were able to just go roughshod between Jalen Hurts and Miles Sanders. They had monster days. I think that they're going to throw the ball a bit more. I think A.J. Brown is going to go ham against his old team. And there's really no one on the Titans that can stop him. So I'm going to say Miles Sanders is a Pine this week. He's going to finish below consensus rankings.
I like it. As to the trivia question there, the answer was Nick Chubbs. If we would have asked it last week, it would have been Jacobs. And the breakdown is Chubbs, 106 evaded tackles, and Josh Jacob, 99. All right, I like it. We'll go ahead and move right on over here into the shot.
Tampa Bay can't tackle.
Right. All righty, so we'll go ahead and move on over here to the Shine. And the Shine's where we think somebody's going to have a great game, outperform, all that good stuff. And Alex is calling for Aaron Jones against the Chicago Bears.
That one. That's the one I was thinking about Aaron Jones a lot today as I was going through the show doc, and Alex just kind of beat me to it, so I had to pivot. But my Shine of the Week's going to be Trevor Lawrence. He's been playing well. He's kind of getting on. You can tell the game is slowing down for him a little bit. He's been much more efficient using his weapons. And they're going up against the Detroit Lions. So I like Trevor Lawrence a lot this week.
Yeah, that was another good one that I really liked there. I'm going to take Garrett Wilson for my Shine, who's been, expert consensus ranking, kind of right there, low-end wide receiver two. I think that we're going to see plenty of targets for him. And again, this is one of those that when you watch back that game film from the Jets, they very much made it seem like they had several design screens kind of set up for Garrett Wilson to do it. And, sure enough, he finally had a quarterback hit him and be able to make some moves and make some magic there. But there's no reason that I don't see Garrett Wilson getting over double digit targets in this one here. And with a quarterback that seemingly is competent enough to hit him in stride and allow him to make some moves, I think that we're going to see another great game out of Garrett Wilson and, should easily be inside that wide receiver two mark there. All righty. So that's going to do it for the Pine and the Shine. So guys, we'll go ahead and hit up some of the questions in the chat and all of that. And if you have any other questions, let's make sure we throw them out there. And when we're done with the questions, we're going to sign off and call it a night here. But Jaden asking, do you think Renfro could eventually be a waiver wire ad? I'm out on Hunter Renfro.
For whatever reason, even with Darren Waller being a complete no-show this season, Derek Carr has eyes for Davante Adams and Davante Adams alone.
Right. Seems to me that on this very show, we called Don't Draft Hunter Renfro in the before the season started. Just throwing that out there. I love it when those projections come through.
Right.
All righty. I think that's Little Boy Blue J619. Over on YouTube, should I trade Kyler and Jamal Williams for Watson and James Conner, have Swift too, but need a running back for week 14?
I don't know that I do that deal.
You're, no.
Now, Conner, Connor's on a bye this week, so if you need a running back for this week,
they could play Jamal. Wow, yeah, at that point you couldn't play
for
Jamal.
14. Sorry, for week 14. So that would be Connor. I don't love it. I don't love it. I think Kyler and Deshaun Watson, you're going to get comparable outputs between the two of them.
Jamal Williams is this year's James Conner.
As far as the touchdowns go, yeah. Now, yeah. Conner had a really good week last week, right? Like, mm-hmm. It was a little quiet, but with his ability to get in the end zone, as long as he's healthy, maybe I do this. Maybe I do this, and then I find a way to pivot off of Watson for this week. I don't know that I'd hate it. Capitalize on Jamal Williams. I mean, you're never going to get more for him than what you're getting right now.
Right.
Because outside of the touchdowns, his usage isn't the greatest. They're starting to get Justin Jackson more involved. Like, yeah, what the hell? Go for it.
There you go.
I think Kyler and Watson will be even enough. James Conner will get the volume and total yardage that Jamal Williams won't. Williams will probably end up with a couple more touchdowns.
There we go. Jaden asking Geno or Deshaun Watson. Yeah, I'm taking Geno.
Geno this week. I like his matchup. This Rams team does not scare anybody, right? And they tried to show a little bit of spunk against Kansas City, but it felt like Kansas City was just playing with them the entire time.
Yeah, it really did.
Like, it just felt like they were playing with them the entire time. Like, ah, no, you're not going to get that. Nah, no. I mean, and it's kind of sloppy. I shouldn't say sloppy. It wasn't as crisp as what we'd expect from Kansas City, and they still covered.
And I remember on the Friday show, we were sitting there going, man, it feels bad having to call a cover of like 16, and like it shouldn't – like that shouldn't be a thing.
Yeah, and it hit the under, right? Like we missed because we thought it'd be the over. We thought Kansas City might get there by themselves. So the over-under we missed, but Kansas City covered, and we both called for that. And I think Seattle's going to do more of the same. It's a division rivalry game, but Aaron Donald's dinged up. No Cooper Kupp, no Allen Robinson, no Matt Stafford. Their offensive line's in shambles, and they can't run the football. Like, there's only so much Van Jefferson and Ben Skoranek you can get. You hope for a Tyler Higbee sighting this week because the Seahawks are bad against the tight end. But who's going to get the ball to Tyler Higbee? Like, I don't love it. So I'd go Geno.
Yeah, absolutely. Jamie's saying that his shine is Marquise Brown. Put him in your flex wide receiver too.
He's on a bye this week, homie.
Yeah. Jaden, even in 14 man, and that goes back to the Hunter Renfro as the waiver wire.
Yeah, I'd be looking for DeMarcus Robinson from the Ravens is mm-hmm. a guy that I would rather have over Hunter Renfro. Ricky James from the Giants. You know, if you're really scrambling for deeper stashes, you know, Ben Skoranek from the Rams, like Van Jefferson. Jefferson's probably picked up by now, so that's probably a bad take. But KJ Osborne from the Vikings, right? Look for a pass happy offense if you're going to be taking a third or fourth option. You know, I'd rather have Kadarius Toney. Going back to your question at the very beginning, I'd rather have Kadarius Toney than Hunter Renfro.
Cosign.
So, Chase Claypool. I'd rather have Chase Claypool over Hunter Renfro, even though it's an anemic Bears offense. But with Mooney out, Claypool's volume should go up.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think there's better options besides what Hunter Renfro can offer you.
Terry asking Jamal or DK this week. I think I'd take Jamal.
I would take Jamal this week. The Jags defense does not scare me. They're not great against running backs. So, you know, DK, you're hoping for 70 yards and a touchdown. I think right. Jamal Williams, you're to get to that same mark. You're looking for 30 and two touchdowns. And it's crazy to say, but I think that's more likely for Jamal Williams than it is for DK.
Well, there's a chance that Seattle jumps up early on this thing and runs away with it to the point where the passing attack becomes a little bit less than, and you start seeing, you know, Ken Walker just salt the game away. Like, you could absolutely see something like that come into play. Whereas the Jacksonville and Detroit are going, like, this one here is going to be a shootout type of game, and it will not surprise me if we see both of these teams touch 30 points in that game. Not because, you know, the offenses are that prolific. The offenses are good enough, but the defenses that they're going up against are just that bad. So,
yeah, that'll be a fun game to cover on Friday night.
Absolutely. And that's one that we'll break down on the Friday night show as well. Tune in, 11 p.m. Eastern. Jamie's saying that Jamal Williams has been top 15. Yeah, most of the season he sure has. He's been pretty consistent there. Jamie's saying Deshaun Watson outproduces Tua, Dak, Burrow, and is top 10 this week. That's a hot take right there.
It is a hot take. I hope I'll, that works out for you.
Yeah, I'll agree to disagree and say nope. So, all righty. Well, guys, that looks like that's about the end of the questions, the comments, all that good stuff. If you have any burning questions, get them in here, and we'll answer them as we're right before we sign out here. But Kevin, any final thoughts out there for the viewers and listeners?
2 weeks left, right? Weeks 13 and 14 before the playoffs start. So hopefully you're either kind of cementing your seeding, or you're in the final bits of your playoff chase, right? If you're trying to sneak back in. So, you know, best of luck to everybody. If you have more questions, feel free to hit us up on the socials. Derek and I are always trying to pay attention and get back to people on that. And as always, please like and subscribe to the show here on YouTube, and thanks for tuning in.
Absolutely. Jamie is saying lukewarm take. No, I don't think
it's a hot lukewarm. Take. That's a hot take.
I think you got a little spice behind that one. I don't see Deshaun Watson being top 15 this week. I think that's setting a high bar even at that point.
I think the TDs are the way to that, right? Like, how much is he willing to run?
All right.
And I do think that plays into it. I wouldn't be surprised if he beats one, maybe two of the three guys, but I don't see it being all three.
Right.
And it ain't going to be Joe Burrow. He is not outscoring Joe Burrow this week.
No, not a chance. But this is how bad the Texans are. Let's rephrase that. This is how great the Texans are as far as opposing fantasy quarterbacks, because they are so bad against opposing running backs. The Texans right now are the third hardest team to put up points on as an opposing fantasy quarterback. The Texans are allowing only about 13.2 points per game to opposing quarterbacks. On average, those teams that are playing them score almost 30% less at the quarterback position than the average defensive matchup there. So that is part of the reason that I'm so out on Deshaun Watson this week. Couple that with the fact of, you know, hasn't necessarily played that much. Couple that with the fact that I think that, you know, Kevin, you said it earlier, you set the bar at 25 passing attempts. I think that's probably the high water mark for me on that one as well. But Jamie, to answer your question on who I'm putting over him, we'll just run through the list. I'll put Patrick Mahomes, Jalen Hurts, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, Lamar, Tua, Dak, Geno, Trevor Lawrence. That's about where that starts maybe fading out there, where I start thinking a little bit about maybe Jared Goff.
This week going up against the Jags. There. I like that.
Maybe Derek Carr going up against the Chargers. Maybe Tom Brady even. Like, that's kind of the bar on that one is who does better, Brady or Watson this week. And that's probably about where I'm setting the bar myself. So probably, what is that? I think I just rattled off 13 quarterbacks there.
I'd add Jimmy G this week.
Right. Yeah, Jimmy G's another
been on
great
a tear.
One.
Like, he's just been on a tear. He's been finding those receivers. I don't think there's any reason. Now, after that, okay, so I'm playing him over Heinicke and Jones and Allen and Dalton and whoever's, you know, Mike White, Matt Ryan, whoever's starting for the Rams. Like, Tannehill, playing him over there. Like, Mariota, I Mariota is probably more of a toss-up. I give Mariota the hair edge. Daniel Jones, Kenny Pickett, Russell Wilson. Like, I'm playing Deshaun Watson over those guys if I really feel the need to. That's perfectly fine. But it's just our list.
So, who are you putting? I guess the question is, are we putting Geno, Brady, Cousins, Carr, Goff ahead of him? I'm putting Geno ahead of him for sure. I'm putting Goff ahead of him, probably Carr, maybe Cousins. Brady's kind of the bar at that point there. You mentioned he could be top eight with those guys. I'm confused by that last one.
I think he was counting before you stalled out.
Oh, before I stalled out? I rattled off 10 guys before I stalled out.
5, 6, 7, 8, 9...
Because I have my 10, I have my initial
11, 12, 13. Yeah, 13 or 14. So yeah. 13 or 14. So it's possible he sneaks up the top 12. It's possible. I have him just outside.
Yeah. And so, like I said, I rattled off 10 because I've got the like kind of my top 10 QBs rankings already done, and I'm still working through the rest of that. And that's where it starts getting a little murky for me where, yeah, but I think you're right. I think Jimmy G, who's got a great matchup, Miami loves giving up quarterback points. I think Jared Goff has a prime matchup there. I wouldn't put it past Derek Carr either. So I think I probably have him 13, 14, 15, somewhere kind of right there in that range.
Oh, so, and the difference between 23 and 12 is 2 points.
Right.
I mean, and yes, sometimes those 2 points come in handy, but that's what it is. It's 2 points, 40 yards, you know, one big passing play. If you get bonus points, like, that's what it is. We're not saying it's leaps and miles. That's just where we have them ranked.
Right. So Jamie's saying that he has him at 8. More power to you. So
it'll be interesting, right? Like I said, yeah. I want to see it. Like I hope we get the game. Like, I don't know that we will, but I hope we get the game and I can tune in and watch it because I want to see what he does. I want to see how he functions within the offense. I want to see his rapport with Amari Cooper. I'm hoping that David Njoku continues to stay relevant because the Texans are really subpar against tight ends. Like, but I do think that Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt are going to lead the day there.
Right. I would agree with that one as well. So, alrighty. So we've had the great Watson debate here at the very end of the night here. I like it.
It's going to be all week. Like that's yep. What people want to know, right? They picked him up off of waivers or they sat on him since the draft. They want to know if they can play this guy. And I don't blame him.
So, and that, like, again, full transparency. That's one of the moves that I'm going to have to be figuring out here in the home league. Do I start Deshaun Watson? Do I start Marcus Mariota? Right? Like that in a super flex, that's where I've gotten. It's a must-win game for me this week. So, yeah, that's one of those that while it might be minimal points, those minimal points will matter quite a bit in that matchup that I'm going into. Jamie's saying Donovan Peoples-Jones all the way. Yeah, very well could be. I think Donovan Peoples-Jones matches up very well with Watson's skill set there. And we'll see what that one looks like. All right. This is the last question. I just saw Terrence pop that one out here. And then, okay, Terry, I see you too. You got that one in there. All right. Last two questions, guys, and we're going to call it a night. Browns defense or Bucks? I'm going to take the Bucks.
I'm going to take the Bucks too. The Saints have been pretty anemic. And while the Browns have a juicy matchup there against the Texans, I think that they're – when you start getting into sacks, turnovers, that type of thing, I think Tampa Bay is more likely to force sacks and turnovers against Andy Dalton, which really kind of creates some of those extra defensive points, than the Browns are against the Texans. They'll limit yardage, but I don't see – the Browns haven't been a big turnover team here this year, so I lean the Bucks for the high side.
Right, and the Browns are very forgiving on that running back deal as well. It would not surprise me to see the Texans get to like 14 points on this one. Nice. It would surprise me to see the Saints get to 14 points in that matchup. Like, I could see this one being a 10-7 shootout down there between the Bucks and the Saints. Terry saying that the Tua is the current quarterback who should drop, is their current quarterback. Who should I drop to add Lawrence? P. Ryan, Sutton, Tampa. The other D is the Niners. I'm dropping Samaje. Dropping P. Ryan.
Yeah, if your waiver is clear tonight and you're worried about the concussion protocol, I'm dropping Tampa Bay's defense. You have the Niners. You don't really need anything else here at the moment. So there's no – I don't see a point in you carrying two defenses here the rest of the way. So I'd drop Tampa's defense and pick them up. That way, in case something happens and Mixon doesn't clear protocol, you have him in hand already.
Yeah, I know the reports are looking very good on Mixon, but you do make a great point. We've seen great reports on a Tuesday turn into a missed game because they didn't complete the final parts of the protocol.
Yeah, concussions are weird, man. Joe Mixon sneezes wrong and goes cross-eyed, and all of a sudden he sits out another week. And I don't mean to make light of it, but because we're not there in the facilities, right, and none of us have actually been through these concussion protocols, we all have an idea. He's trending in the right direction, which is a good thing. But in a situation like this, keep P. Ryan. Honestly, P. Ryan's getting up into that, flex-worthy status some weeks just based off of his reception ability and what he's been able to do about breaking some long passes and getting into the end zone.
Agreed. Jamie saying as a Browns fan, they'd take the Bucks defense to start there over the Browns. So
there you go. Heard it from Mr. Cleveland himself.
There you go. Jamie saying that Mark Andrews leads all tight ends in air yards. Who's the second leading tight end? I'm going to say Travis Kelce.
No, I think it is. I think it's Kelce.
I'm going with Kelce just because it's Kelce, man.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd tell you Goddard, honestly, but that I don't think that's the case anymore with him being hurt.
Yeah, very well may not. I mean, I'm just waiting. Kelce, Pitts, Hockenson. There we go. When the question comes
to crazy Pitts is up there in air yards. He had I feel now I know he had more, but I feel like he only had 15 receptions all freaking season long because I suffered through him in our home league. Yes. Him going on the IR was the biggest sigh of relief because I could just move him into the IR slot and not have to worry about him rest of the year.
Yes. But that brings back an interesting point. Anytime that there's a tight end question involving fantasy, the answer is always Kelce. that's it. Just default
Gronk.
Kelce.
Gronk.
Yes. 5 years ago, yes. Now the answer is always Kelce. So
there you go.
Alrighty. Oh, Terry was guessing Komet on that one. I like that. And then Pitt has 772 yards on there. Terrence Sandy has the Browns in play, Bucks over Steelers, Seahawks, all on waivers. I also roster the Dolphins. Seahawks are if you can get the Seahawks to play, one, they've been having an incredible fantasy deal. They're top five fantasy defense season long, and they've got an incredible matchup this year. And they should have a pretty decent matchup heading down the stretch here as well for you. So Seattle should be rostered on your
Yeah, I like Seattle over the Browns.
Right. So, all righty. Well, guys, that's going to do it for us, and we're going to call it a night here. Appreciate everybody tuning in. Appreciate all the questions. Again, if you have any questions, hit us up on the socials, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, at Good Old Boys FF. We'll get back to those as soon as we can. Make sure you head over to the YouTube channel. Click the subscribe button on that. That's the best way to support this independent podcast. You can find that youtube.com/@goodoldboysff. And he's Kevin. I'm Derek. Have a great one. Be safe. Toodaloo.